Canto 4, Chapter 12. Chapter 12 is entitled Guru Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead, and today we are on text 33. Iti vyavasitam tasya.
Iti vyavasitam tasya.
Iti vyavasitam tasya.
Iti vyavasitam tasya.
Vyavasaya surottamo.
Shri Advaita
God. The next chapter will be just describing the descendants of Dhruv Maharaj, but this chapter is actually telling us how Dhruv Maharaj achieved perfection of whatever, you know, the few chapters that we saw, beginning with his mother insulting him, his father not allowing him to sit on his lap, Dhruv Maharaj being a Kshatriya getting very and being very confident and feels that he should take revenge. So then his, under the guidance of his mother Suniti, he goes to the forest and perform severe austerities under the guidance of Narad Muni, and then how the Lord himself gives him darshan and blesses him. He fulfills the desires of Dhruv Maharaj and also blesses him with pure devotional service. So now, following the instructions of the Lord, and because he had become purified of his revengeful tendency, he had executed lots of bhakti, and we saw that in this chapter, and now he is ready to go back to Godhead. And the two celestial Vishnu Dutas, Nanda and Sunanda, have come personally with a celestial envoy to take him back to Vaikuntha Loka. So Prabhupada says very significant key things in this section. So one of the things Prabhupada says, that for a devotee, he just steps on the head of death and his next step is into the spiritual world. So for a devotee, death is not at all scary. Like yesterday only we were discussing, there was in the news, there was an article how a lady committed suicide and she had locked the door and the family members were begging from outside, and everything has come on a video. The family members are shooting it also, but they were also begging from outside. Don't do this, Bhagwan ke liye, like for God's sake, don't do like that. But the lady just calmly went about putting a noose around the fan, putting it around her neck, and then she committed suicide. So I was seeing that there was, you know, whether there was fear on the lady's face, but she was, her frustration in material life was much higher than the fear of death. Otherwise, death is the most fearful thing in this material world. But sometimes when people get more frustrated, then the fear, their frustration overcomes the fear. And they are ready to take this grave step of committing suicide. But for devotees, in this section, Prabhupada writes that Dhruv Maharaj just stepped on the head of death and he stepped into the airway. So what that means is that a devotee doesn't even realize, it's not such a scary thing for him, leaving this world and going back to, maybe going back to Godhead or going into another form where the devotee will continue their devotional service. So for a devotee, it is not at all a fearful thing. Death is, because for the devotee, death, Krishna comes as death. Krishna comes to just deliver the devotee into his next lifetime or back to Godhead. So for a devotee, this is not a scary concept at all. And that is one thing which Prabhupada stresses by, you know, showing us how Dhruv Maharaj could also easily overcome death and go back to Godhead. The second point which Prabhupada is stressing over here is that how a devotee is very compassionate. The heart of a devotee is very soft. So he does not, and it is full of gratitude. So, you know, lots of our acharyas also say, Prabhupada's disciples or the sannyasis in our movement say that only a grateful heart can be Krishna conscious heart. So if there is no gratitude in our heart, we will not be able to execute our devotional service properly. And when we say gratitude to all our siksha and diksha gurus who brought us into this movement, gratitude to Srila Prabhupada who started this movement so that he could save all of us. So Guru Maharaj also does not forget the personality who actually first guided him on the path going home back to Godhead. And that was his own mother. Because his own mother had told him that you should go to the forest and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead if you want any of your desires to be fulfilled. So Dhruv Maharaj did not forget that. So even though he was nicely going home back to Godhead, he took a pause and he was hoping or he was praying that where is my mother? How can I leave my poor mother behind? And understanding his mind, in this verse we see Nanda and Sunanda reassuring him that don't worry about your mother Suniti. Because you are a devotee, she has already been delivered. And they showed him, and there are pictures in the Bhagavatam, in the fourth canto, where Dhruv Maharaj is on the celestial airplane, and in front of that airplane is Suniti's airplane. So they showed him that how Suniti is getting delivered even before Dhruv Maharaj. Because she was the Vartama Pradakshika Guru of Dhruv Maharaj. She was the one who had shown the path to Dhruv Maharaj. So Prabhupada writes a very beautiful and touching purport over here if we see. Prabhupada in his humility is saying in the last few lines, Prabhupada is saying that the Krishna consciousness movement is spreading now all over the world. And sometimes I think that even though I am crippled in many ways, Rupa talking. If one of my disciples becomes as strong as Dhru Maharaj, then he will be able to certainly carry me with him to Vaikuntha Loka. So this is Prabhupada just speaking out of his humility. Prabhupada is Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale. He has been sent by Krishna. He was dear to Krishna and he has been sent by the will of Krishna. He has been sent to this material world. So it is not that Prabhupada is a conditioned soul like us, who wants, you know, through his sadhana has to, you know, perfect his bhakti and then go back to Godhead. Prabhupada is a siddha. He has come down just to deliver fallen people like us. But just out of his humility, he is thinking that one of his disciples will actually take him back to Godhead. But on the other hand, we see that Prabhupada has come to take millions of people back to Godhead. So that is why what we understand from this whole purport, and Prabhupada writes in the beginning also that for the Siksha or Diksha Guru, if, you know, when we preach in the Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada is saying that if the person whom you have preached to becomes very strong and becomes eligible to go back to Godhead, then your deliverance is definitely assured. Because that disciple or that dependent will definitely pray for you and will pray to the Lord to take you also back to Godhead. And therefore we see that in the Bhagavad Gita, Gita also, Lord Krishna stresses that one who preaches his glories is the most dear to him. So we understand that every aspect of devotional service is important. But Lord Krishna is giving special focus or special mention of a preacher. So he is saying that one who preaches his glories and one who unites his lost children with him, that person is the most dear to him. And why is such a person dear to Krishna? So obviously, because he is uniting the lost child back with Krishna, the child has become lost in this material world. And what is the greatest pleasure for a parent than reuniting with their lost child? We see many mothers here with little children. So if your child becomes lost, the greatest pleasure that you will get will be when somebody brings your child back and says, oh, I found your child, he had got lost, but I've brought him back to you. So that will be the greatest pleasure for the mother or father. So in the same way, Krishna is very pleased when his lost children come back to him, and he is specially pleased with the person who guides those back to, lost children back to him. But it is also said that preaching is quite purifying. Not only it helps the lost children unite, but it is purifying for the preacher himself. Because when we preach, when we start this preaching, and you know, when we are either doing Bhakti Bhiksha programs or any Bhagavad Gita programs or satsang programs in our house or urban yoga outreach preaching that we do in the city, any form of preaching that we are doing, the first person who gets benefited by that preaching is the preacher himself. And you know, many of you must have experienced who have tried preaching or who have tried running any programs. Because you come to face, we come face to face with our own anarthas. When you sit there and you are giving a class, and let's say we are telling everyone how to do attentive chanting, then you are face to face with your own anartha. Can I talk about doing attentive chanting if I myself am not doing it? Or if we tell people about, you know, overcoming greed, illusion, pride, all those anarthas in our heart, can I talk about that till I haven't overcome? But there's a famous story of Lord Buddha, where and even of Mahatma Gandhi. So one person was brought to Mahatma Gandhi. My mother came with a little child to Mahatma Gandhi. And the mother was complaining that this child eats lots of sweets. He is not able to give up sweets at all, and I'm worried that his teeth will become spoiled and his health is going to get spoiled. The amount of sweets the child likes to eat. So can you please tell him, because you are like a Mahatma, you are a Mahapurush, can you please explain to my child to give up sweets? And Mahatma Gandhi told the mother, can you please come back after 1 week? So the mother brought the child back after 1 week. And that time Mahatma Gandhi told the child, he very lovingly made the child sit next to him. And Mahatma Gandhi told the child that, look child, it is not good to have so many sweets. You're going to fall sick and your teeth will get spoiled if you eat too many sweets. You will have to get, you know, your teeth treated or extracted or whatever. So very nicely Mahatma Gandhi explained to the child, and the child promised that he will start cutting back and he will start giving up sweets. So then the mother inquired from Mahatma Gandhi. He said that the same thing you could have told him a week back. Why did you ask me to come after a week to you? And Mahatma Gandhi told him, because a week back I was also eating sweets. So I wanted to first give up sweets myself so that I can then tell the child to give up sweets. How can I tell a child to give up something which I myself have not given up? So in the same way, if we see as preachers, When we start propagating the Krishna conscious message to people, then we have to first, it's like a checkpoint for us, we have to first start lifting our own game in material worlds, if we say. We have to start actually raising our own this thing. I remember when we first started the Bhakti Vrikshas, and we were in Canada, this was in 2003 or 2004. And we were hardly doing 8 or 10 rounds, but there was a very dire need of Bhakti Vriksha preachers in Canada at that time in Toronto. So some of the sannyasis who were visiting, especially Gopal Krishna Maharaj, he requested us to start a preaching program. He said that please get yourself trained and start a Bhakti Vriksha program. So when we actually started the program, we were not chanting 16 rounds. But then we quickly realized that if we have to bring the members of the Bhakti Vriksha to 16 rounds, we ourselves have to be on 16 rounds. And it actually helped us be very quickly. Otherwise, you know, one round every Ekadashi or every alternate Ekadashi you increase, it will take months to reach 16 rounds. But it quickly helped us. We made that determination that yes, we cannot sit on the Vyasasana and we cannot talk to people about chanting 16 rounds or how Prabhupada's order is for everyone to chant 16 rounds if we ourselves are not following that principle. So it very quickly helped us to raise our spiritual platform. And that is the main thing about preaching, about becoming, you know, a Siksha Guru to someone. That it helps us to become, you know, quickly become better and better devotees. Because we will not be, otherwise our teaching first of all won't be effective. Prabhupada says purity is the force. So unless we are striving to lead a pure life and to lead good pure chanting, we will not be able to effect that change in others. So that is one thing. And also during our preaching, we see many times that people whom we have preached to actually progress very fast in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes their progress is so fast that they actually overtake us. We might not be able to go to Mangalarti every day, for example. But this person becomes so fixed in a short time that this person starts coming for Mangalarti every day and chanting only during Brahma Muhurta. Now that is something we have not been able to perfect, for example. So we might see, because Prabhupada says that, you know, when you're preaching to someone, it's like akin to grass. Now if the grass is already dry, and it just requires that little spark of, you know, you lighting a little spark into that dry grass, the grass will immediately catch fire. So in the same way, we don't know who has come into our program and how much spiritual life they have done in their previous lifetime. We can't see that. What devotional credits they already have, we don't know that. So they might pick up the process very quickly because they have done a very mature stage of devotional service in their previous life. And we might see that they are actually progressing so fast in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, like Prabhupada is mentioning over here, that sometimes our disciples or, you know, our dependents or people whom we have preached to, when I say our disciples means, you know, as Siksha Guru, the members, our Bhakti Vriksha members, they might become so strong devotees that then they might lead you by example. And we might be able to follow in their footsteps back to Godhead. In fact, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is also writing over here. He is saying that if one devotee or if I make one soul successfully go back to Godhead, then my mission of spreading this Krishna consciousness is successful. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur always used to say, that it takes, you know, gallons and gallons of blood we have to shed to make one person a devotee. So yes, there is efforts in preaching and it is very purifying, but the benefits are multifold. It helps us, you know, improve in our spiritual life, and then also we become dear to Krishna, because that is what he claims in the Bhagavad Gita. And when we talk about preaching or we talk about Bhakti Vrikshas or Siksha Guru or Diksha Gurus, we also mean devotees who have left behind literature for us. So we might not be in direct contact with these devotees, but their literature inspires us to become Krishna conscious, to go deeper into our bhakti. For example, we are right now studying the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in our Bhakti Vedanta class under Kesha Prabhu. And we have finished the Vrindavan pastimes and we are now coming to the Dwarka pastimes of how Krishna killed Banasura, Narakasura, how he is marrying the 16,100 princesses. So all those pastimes are going on. And we were advised by Kesha Prabhu to refer to Shivra Maharaj's book called Krishna Sangati. Because in that book, it is very nicely explained that how it was all the gopis of Vrindavan who actually became the queens of Dwarka, and how that transition happened, which gopi becomes which queen, how from Vrindavan Leela they came into the Dwarka Leela. All that is so beautifully described by Shivram Maharaj in Krishna Sangati book. So when we read these books, obviously it is inspiring us to go deeper into our own bhakti, into our own practice of Krishna consciousness. And then it gives us so much gratitude for Maharaj. So personally, we have never met Shivram Maharaj because he doesn't come this side, so we have never met him or we have never seen him personally. But just by reading all the literature that he has written, it is helping us to become stronger devotees. Now in the same way, Shivram Maharaj has also written a book called Damodar Janani. It is, in detail, it is describing the Damodar Leela, and it's such a beautiful rendition, such beautiful pictures, and very detailed he describes the emotion of every bird who was witnessing the Damodar Leela, the emotion of the stick which Yashoda Maya picks up. Because we know in the spiritual world, everything is sat, nothing is jad, or even, you know, stones, everything is eternal and everything is Sachidananda. They all have consciousness. So the emotions of the stick, when Yashoda Maya is picking up the stick, it is actually telling Krishna, please don't think I am the offender, I have to obey your mother, like that, you know, such beautiful, so beautifully Shivram Maharaj describes. So when we read all this literature, they also, the authors who have written these literatures, they also are our siksha gurus, because they are guiding us further on the path of Krishna consciousness. And we show our gratitude to them as well, by praying for them, by praying for their good health. So this is what, you know, Prabhupada is talking in a sense in this purport, that we take the responsibility of preaching the Krishna consciousness movement so that it's purifying for us. We actually raise our own platform in Krishna consciousness and we become dear to Krishna. And who knows, the people whom we have actually preached to, they might become stronger devotees and they will actually help us lead back home, back to Godhead. On the other hand, if we see from, you know, being a disciple, we are all disciples of Guru Maharaj, we are all grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So the responsibility is also on us to become strong devotees. The responsibility is also on us to become worthy disciples of our spiritual masters so that we can pray for them and we can also, you know, beg to Krishna to keep our spiritual master hale and hearty and, you know, that Krishna always showers his mercy. So like Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhartha Maharaj, Saraswati Thakur are requesting over here, it is everyone, each and every one of our responsibility also to become very strong in our Krishna consciousness so that, you know, we might not be able to deliver them, but at least we don't make our siksha, diksha guru come back again and again for us to this material world, because we have not perfected our lives. Because it is said that the diksha guru has to come back to take every disciple back to Godhead. So let us not at least be that example where, you know, we are making our siksha and diksha guru to, you know, take repeated birth just because we are not being delivered and we have not, you know, tried to perfect our Krishna consciousness or endeavor to become sincere and serious devotees. So the onus is on us as well, not only as preachers but also as disciples, to become strong so that we then, you know, are able to allow our spiritual masters also to go back to Godhead. So we'll also tell a little bit on one of the personalities whose disappearance day is today. It is the disappearance day of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who was one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, very dear associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami, through his personal example and even all the literature that he has left for us, he was a great preacher of Krishna consciousness. So it ties in very nicely with the verse and the purport that Prabhupada has written today, that how Gopal Bhatta Goswami was dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because of his personal example he was setting and inspiring others to come into Krishna consciousness. So we'll dwell for the next 15-20 minutes, we'll dwell on this pastime. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he was born in the Sri Rangam in South India. He was born to very devout Vaishnava parents and they were Sri Vaishnavas, his parents. So his father's name was Venkatapata. So both the father and mother of Gopal Bhatta Goswami were ardent devotees of Lord Ranganath, whose temple is there in Sri Rangam. In fact, Venkatapata was the head priest, one of the head priests of the Sri Rangam temple. So very pure devotees of the Lord, but obviously they used to worship the Lord in Lakshmi Narayan form. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once visited Sri Rangam. He was doing a tour, as we have read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was doing a tour of South India. And after he finished visiting all the temples like Tirupati Balaji, Kumbakonam, all these other kshetras, holy kshetras he visited, he then came to Sri Rangam. And the 4 months of Chaturmas were just starting, the rainy season was just starting. So he decided to stay in Srirangam for 4 months. So when he came to Srirangam, he went to take darshan of the beautiful deity of Rangana, who lies on, you know, Ananta Sage. And he did ecstatic kirtan of the Hare Krishna mantra. So he did ecstatic kirtan in the corridors at the temple of Srirangam. And everyone was mesmerized because no one had ever seen such a kirtan being performed before. So all the Sri Vaishnava devotees who were, you know, ardent worshippers of Lord Vishnu or Lord Ranganath in the form of Vishnu, they were all astounded. And they were all asking each other, who is this who is doing such beautiful kirtan? Is he a god who has come down? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, obviously he was extremely tall and very beautiful to look at. Golden complexion, long lotus-like eyes which used to go to his temples, raised eyebrows, and with raised arms and melodious voice, he was singing the Hare Krishna mantra. And just by participating in this kirtan, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leading, all the Sri Vaishnavas who were present there, their hair was standing on end. They were going into ecstasy. Tears started flowing from their eyes as well, just participating and singing along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So all these devotees were wondering that who is this person who has come over here? And Venkata Bhat was also there in that crowd which was there with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he realized that this is not an ordinary person. And he actually pushed his way forward through the crowd. And he fell down at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he begged him that please come and stay in my house for the next 4 months. Because it's Chaturmas, you will not travel now, so come and stay with me. And very lovingly he invited. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the invitation of Venkata Bhat. And he went to stay in the house of Venkata Bhat. So as soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came into the house of Venkata Bhat, he actually, you know how when an elevated person comes, we wash their feet and we worship them. So he welcomed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very nicely. And he engaged his whole family in washing the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Venkata Bhat had two brothers. His one brother was Prabodhananda Saraswati, who was also a disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his other brother was Tirumala Pratap. And Venkata Bhat had a little son, who was 7 years old at that time, whose name was Gopal. So once he had washed the feet, he sprinkled that water on all of his family members. So he sprinkled the water on Gopal as well, and he gave the water to Gopal to drink. And as soon as Gopal drank that water, obviously just imagine the water that has washed Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. So immediately Gopal went into ecstasy, and his heart became full of love of Krishna, and tears started flowing from his eyes. So he realized that, you know, some very beautiful and very elevated personality has come to our house. And he actually wanted to surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So very nicely he started serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu while he was living in his house. And Venkata Bhat was also very happy to see this tendency in his son, that my son is lovingly serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he kept fanning that, and he told Gopal that, yes, the perfection of your life is to serve this sannyasi very nicely. So become his personal servant till he's over in our house for the 4 months and keep serving him very nicely. And he said that this is a very important part of your life, to render service to this elevated sannyasi. So while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Venkata Bhat's house, he used to have very beautiful conversations with Venkata Bhat. And he used to actually tease and joke with Venkata Bhat, because Venkata Bhat was ardent devotee of Vishnu. He was a worshipper of Lakshmi Narayan. So he always used to tease him. I won't go into too much details of those conversations, but he used to tease him that how come you are saying that your Lakshmi Devi is the chaste, most chaste woman on this earth, but then why is she wanting to take part in Krishna's Vasalila? Why is she running behind another man? And why is she wanting to leave the side? She is always on the chest of Narayan. Why does she want to leave his association and go and take part in the Rasleela of Krishna? So Venkata Bhat always used to surrender, because he used to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strong. In his childhood also, he could debate anybody and he could defeat anybody. So he always used to surrender. And he had realized by this time that this is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan himself. So he used to try and refute. He used to say that, "Oh Lord, but Narayan and Krishna are one and the same. When there is no fault on the part of Lakshmi Devi to go and actually try and enter Krishna's Rasleela, because the same personality." So all these devotees, Sri Vaishnavas, they have this concept that Narayan is supreme and Krishna, Ram, Narasimha Dev, they are all actually incarnations of Narayan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew this heart of Venkatapur, but he really wanted to bless and give his mercy by actually correcting the philosophy of Venkatapur. So he used to agree, he used to say that yes, Narayan is the supreme Lord, but Krishna is the source of all incarnations. So very nicely, philosophically, he used to explain to him. And he also would tell him that your Lakshmi had to do so much tapasya, but still she was not allowed entrance into the Rasleela of Krishna. The Shrutis, all the ways, you know, there were Shrutis scriptures. They prayed and they got entrance as gopis into the Rasleela of Krishna, but your Lakshmi Devi did get entrance. And why was that so? So he said, because your Lakshmi Devi was not ready to give her opulence. She was not ready to give that position as the goddess of fortune. She was not ready to make cow dung cakes. She was not ready to build cows. She was not ready to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. Through that conversation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was stressing the point, gopi bhajul patatamaleo das das anudas. So he said, unless one follows in the footsteps of the gopis of Raja, one cannot enter into the pastimes of Krishna, as Brajendra Nandana. So he said, your Lakshmi was not ready to give up her opulent position as Lakshmi, and that is why she could not enter. So she had to just do tapasya on the other end of Yamuna and just witness the Rasleela, but she could not enter the Rasleela. So he used to have all these beautiful conversations with Venkatapur. And Venkatapur had realized that he always used to say that you are Krishna himself. You explain to me how, what is the tattva and how do I understand this proper tattva. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami used to listen to all these conversations and his heart was more and more surrendering to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he used to lament because he knew right now he was seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of a sannyasi with shaved hair, orange robes, living quite an austere life. And he knew that when in Navadvip, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had long hair. He was like a grahastha, like the Navadvip, king of Navadvip. And he used to do all pastimes with Nityanand Prabhu and all his associates as a grahastha. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami, even at that tender age, he used to lament and cry piteously when he was alone. He used to say that, why was I born so far away from Navadvip? And why was I not born in that time when I could see my Lord with long beautiful hair dancing in the streets of Navadvip? Why I have to see this form of the Lord? Oh Providence, why have you been so cruel on me? So like this he used to lament, and then he used to again reconcile. And he used to say, no, no, Providence, it's not your fault. It is actually my own misdeeds that made me take birth so far away, and I could not take part in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So because he was so much lamenting, and he was feeling separation from that form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him a beautiful dream one night. And in that dream, Gopal Bhatta Goswami saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the form of a grahastha in Navadvip, as the king of Navadvip. And he had that beautiful long hair, very nice long robes, beautiful ornaments and garlands he was wearing. And he was walking along the streets of Navadvip with his other associates like Nityanand Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar Pandit. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami saw himself in the dream as well. And how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lovingly taking him through the streets of Navadvip. And all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were embracing Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So his dream broke and he ran to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to fall at his lotus feet. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, he said that, I know I showed you that dream, but please keep it confidential. Don't discuss that dream with anybody. And then in front of Gopal, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also showed him the form of Brajendra Nandan, Krishna, the blue cowherd boy. So he showed that form as well, holding a flute, beautiful bluish black complexion, wearing yellow garment. So he saw that darshan and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transformed himself into the sannyasi form. So all these beautiful darshans were given to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And at that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Gopal Bhatta Goswami instructions. He told him that your parents are pure devotees of the Lord. So please serve them till they leave this world. Don't leave their association. And once you have served them fully and they have left this world, you then will be going to Vrindavan. And you will unite with Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami over there, who will be like your brothers. They will look after you very nicely. You will also make disciples all over the world, and you will also help in spreading this Krishna consciousness movement, and you will also write literatures and all for spreading, for talking about the glories of Lord Krishna. So giving all these instructions to Gopal Bhanda Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then started preparing to leave, because the 4 months were coming to an end of Chaturmasya. And all the family members of Venkatapur, they were feeling like they were lamenting, because the 4th month was approaching and they knew Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to very soon leave them and go away. So they were not able to bear that separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But ultimately that day dawned when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left them and went. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami, as per the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very obediently was serving his parents. And he actually started learning under Prabodhananda Saraswati, who was his uncle. So Prabodhananda Saraswati was a very learned man. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami actually became a disciple of Prabodhananda Saraswati. And he learned all the shastras, grammars, scriptures, even devotional scriptures under the tutelage of Prabodhananda Saraswati.
And poetry.
So he learned all these things from Prabodhananda Saraswati. And then he served his parents throughout his life. And once his parents left this world, at the age of 30, Gopal Bhatta Goswami finally traveled to Vrindavan. So his parents are also such nice devotees that before they were leaving, when they were in their old age, they actually called Gopal Bhatta Goswami and they told him very lovingly. They said that your mission is to now surrender your life to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So please go and serve him and follow his instructions and go to Vrindavan and fulfill his mission now. Because we are old, we are going to leave any time. But now the time has come for you to fulfill the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then, taking blessings from his parents once they had left the world, he travelled to Vrindavan at the age of 13. And once he came to Vrindavan, he was very lovingly received by Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already intimated, both of them, that Gopal will come one day, please treat him like your brother. And please keep him in your association always. So very lovingly, all the Goswamis who were present in Vrindavan at that time, they actually embraced Gopal Bhatta Goswami and they took him under their shelter. And they saw to it that he is very comfortable over there. And at the same time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Puri and he was in Tota Gopinath temple with Gadadhar Pandit. And he was just wondering that I haven't had any message from Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami in a long time. And what has happened to that little Gopal? I hope he is doing well. When is he coming to Vrindavan? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just wondering like this, and immediately a messenger arrived from Vrindavan, whom Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami had sent. So obviously in those days there was no email or post or anything like that. Messengers had to personally carry. They had to walk all the way and carry messages and come. So this messenger arrived and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read the letter which Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami had written, where they were informing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Gopal Bhatta Goswami has finally arrived to Vrindavan and we are all so happy to have him and we are all living like brothers. And you know, Prabhupada explains in that section, Prabhupada says that what gives the most pleasure to the spiritual master or to Krishna, to see that all his disciples are living very lovingly, affectionately with each other. And Prabhupada says that not that we just tolerate each other, you know, I can't get along with this person, but I'm just tolerating him. No, not those superficial relationships. Our spiritual master and Prabhupada and Krishna are happy when they see actually deep loving relationships between their disciples. That is what Prabhupada stresses in that purport. And that is what gave Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so much happiness, to see that loving reciprocation and relationship amongst all the Goswamis. So out of that happiness, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent his own outer cloth and his coffin, and also a wooden seat which he personally used to sit on as a gift to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And the messenger came and gave those gifts, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami treasured those gifts and worshipped them as worshipable deities, as non-different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Till the end of his life, he used to worship those gifts.
And a shawl also.
Huh?
He sent a shawl.
A shawl, okay. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami was very nicely helping Rupa Goswami in serving Govindaji in Vrindavan. And once Govindji came in the dream of Rupa Goswami, and Govindji told Rupa Goswami that Gopal Bhatta Goswami should have his own deities to worship. And when that great clear dream came to Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in the dream of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And he instructed him that you go to Nepal, to the Gandaki River, and you get shaligrams from there and come, and worship me in that deity form. So because of that dream and under the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gopal Bhatta Goswami travelled all the way to Nepal. And high in the Himalayas, he was taking bath in the Gandaki River. And there were 12 shaligram shilas which came into his kamandalu when he was taking bath. So he thought there are 12, so he put them back. He thought by mistake he has picked them up. So he put them back into the river and then he again took bath. And again when he dipped his head and took the kamandalu out, again those 12 shilas were there. So 3 times Gopal Bhatta Goswami did that. He poured those 12 shilas out, but they again kept coming into his kamandalu. And at that time Gopal Bhatta Goswami realized that this is the desire of the Lord, that I worship these shaligram shilas. So he brought them back to Vrindavan, and very lovingly he started worshipping all those shaligram shilas. He used to tie them around his neck in a cloth bag, and he used to take them everywhere. And then he had a nice basket in which he used to do his puja and put them to sleep and all. So very lovingly he started worshipping these shaligram shilas. Now one day a very rich devotee merchant came to Vrindavan. And because this merchant knew that the best way to please all the devotees in Vrindavan is to give them gifts of ornaments and clothes for their deities. So that is what this merchant also did. He had brought very beautiful ornaments and clothes for everyone's deities. And he gifted to all the Goswamis. And as part of that, he gifted some clothes and ornaments to Gopal Bhatta Goswami also. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami told this merchant, he said, I have shaligram shila, so I can't use all these clothes and all. You please give to someone else. But the merchant insisted. He said, no, you please keep them. I want to serve you in some way. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami saw all those beautiful clothes and ornaments, and he was so happy. And the desire arose in his heart that I wish I could worship and my deities with these beautiful clothes. So he actually went and prayed to the Shilas, and it was the appearance day of Narasimha Dev. So on that day he went and prayed to his Shaligram Shilas. He said that I have a desire to worship you in the form of a deity where I can dress you nicely, I can decorate you with beautiful ornaments, I can put some nice garlands and all that around you. And then he implored the Lord. He said that just as out of a stone pillar you could appear as Narasimha Dev, in the same way, out of these stone shaligram shilas, I'm sure you can appear as a deity as well. And he said, beautiful, he recited beautiful prayers which Prahlad Maharaj recites for Narasimha Dev, because it was the appearance day of Narasimha Dev. So, you know, putting this request to the shaligram shilas and glorifying them by singing the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, he put all his shaligram shilas to sleep at night in the basket. And the next day morning, after he had taken his bath in the Yamuna, when he opened his basket, he saw that his Damodar Shaligram Shila had transformed into a beautiful form of black Krishna. And he was so ecstatic to see that form. He immediately paid obeisances, and all the other Goswamis also heard that this miracle has happened with Gopal Bhatta Goswami. A deity has manifested itself from one of the Shaligram Shilas. So all the Goswamis came there to take darshan of this beautiful deity. And it is described that this deity was a combination of the 3 principal deities of Vrindavan. So from feet till waist, the deity was an exact replica of Madan Mohanji. And from chest till the shoulders, like the hands, the posture of the hands and all that, the deity was very similar to Gopinathji. And the face was exactly similar to Radha Govindji. So they saw that this deity was a combination of the 3 principal deities. And because the deity had appeared not far from Nidhivan, Nidhivan is the place where Krishna gives lots of pleasure to Radharani through intimate pastimes. So because the deity had appeared very close to Nidhivan, all the Goswamis decided that they are going to name the deity as Radharaman, the Krishna who gives pleasure to Radharani. And that is how Radharamanji deity appeared in this world. So if we see on a calendar also, Radharaman Dev's appearance day is always after Narasimha Dev's appearance day. Because the Gopal Bhatta Goswami requested him that you can appear out of a stone pillar on Narasimha Jayanti, and next day Radha Ramanji appeared for Gopal Bhatta Goswami's pleasure. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami started worshipping these deities very nicely. They became his life and soul. So he was rendering all sorts of beautiful service to these deities. And, you know, there are pages and pages described of how he used to worship these deities and what are all the standards he used to follow, very high standards of deity worship he was maintaining. So even today we see the Radharaman temple has very high standards of deity worship. And beautiful description of Radharaman is there, that how every feature, even though the deity is only 12 inches tall, but every feature is so intricately present on Radharaman deity. I'm sure all of us have taken darshan of that deity. So even the fingernails, even the tail, deity has little teeth also inside the spine. So every feature Krishna has manifested on that deity. Such a beautiful deity to behold. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami was worshipping this deity nicely. But at the same time, he did not forget his primary service in Vrindavan. He did not forget the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So not that because the deity has manifest to him and now his life and soul is the deity, so he was neglecting other services. He was still assisting Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami very nicely. He did not give up that service. So he was assisting Sanatana Goswami to compile the Hari Bhakti Vilas. You know, the scripture that we all follow on what are the rules and regulations to be followed in Krishna consciousness and in deity worship. So that scripture he helped him to compile. He also helped Jiva Goswami compile the Sakta Sandarbhas. He actually edited all this work. He himself wrote a few books on Krishna consciousness. So in this way he was always helping Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami in writing all these literatures. So he had not given up his services to them. Now once when he was travelling, and he was actually going to Haridwar on a pilgrimage. But there was a very heavy downpour that happened in a village called Sahranpur, which was on the way to Haridwar. So he had to stop there for the night. And there was a Brahmin, a very nice devotee Brahmin, who invited him into his house. And he said that, look, it's raining, why don't you come and stay with me for the night? And very lovingly this Brahmin served and took care of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami blessed him because the Brahmin was a grahastha but he did not have any children. So he blessed him that may you soon have sons who will, you know, be great devotees of Lord Krishna and who will help in spreading Krishna's name all over the world. So the Brahmin was very happy with the blessing and he promised him. He said that the first son I have, I will dedicate him to your service. He will be completely dedicated to you. He will not be staying with me. So once Gopal Bhatta Goswami was coming back from Yamuna after his bath, and when he came back, he saw that there was a 10-year-old boy sitting outside his bhajan kuti. And he asked this boy, who are you? And he said that I have come from the village of Sahranpur. My father has sent me and he has asked me that I have to serve you now. Eternally, like till I am alive, until you are alive, I have to serve you. So then Gopal Bhatta Goswami remembered that, you know, that Brahmin had promised him that he will send his son to serve him. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami very lovingly engaged this boy in the service of Radharaman. And he showed him, he taught him all the intricacies of worship of the deity. And he initiated him also. So his name was Gopinath. He gave him the name Gopinath and he was the main pujari of Ramandev. And even today it is mentioned that it is the descendants of this Gopinath pujari who still worship Radharaman in Vrindavan. So that was one of the disciples. And the second disciple was of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, prominent. He had many disciples, but the second prominent disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami was Srinivas Acharya. So Srinivas Acharya was instructed by the Lord to go to Vrindavan. And as soon as he had reached the outskirts of Vrindavan, now by this time Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami had already left the world. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami was lamenting in separation from Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. But Srinivas Acharya was fortunately sent by them. So they appeared in a dream to Srinivas Acharya. And they told Srinivas Acharya that go and take shelter of Gopal Bhatta Goswami and go and take initiation from him. And then they also appeared in the dream of Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And they gave him the instructions that this very nice devotee boy will come called Srinivas Acharya. You go and take him to the lotus feet of Gopal Bhatta Goswami and let him serve Gopal Bhatta Goswami always. So then Srinivas Acharya came to Vrindavan and Jiva Goswami very lovingly took him to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And Srinivas Acharya surrendered his life to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He started serving him nicely and obviously Gopal Bhatta Goswami gave him initiation.